This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up?
You know.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Basking in the glory of one Stan Van Gundy.
Yeah, you got a new job, huh?
I love coaches that are like involved in a sport that look like at no point in their life they could have played that sport. I don't know why, but I enjoy it. It makes me chuckle. Like that guy, if I showed you Stan Van Gundy and you had no idea who he was, and I said, "What does this man do for a living?" And it's one of the 30 best in the country to do it. Or is there 32 NBA teams? 30 or 32?
30.
30. He is one of the best. You're like 30, maybe. It's every league, it's like, is there 30? Is there 32? How about this? He's one of the 35 best in the world at this one thing right now. I do not believe that at any point during this game, anyone that didn't know who he was would guess NBA coach.
Confirmed 30.
30. 30 teams. No one would guess that. And I love the fact that he is now one of those guys. And it'd be fun to see what people would come up with.
Well,
best in the world at this one thing.
Well, he looks like, he wears suits.
Well, he looks like Ron Jeremy is what he looks like. But
have you seen him lately, though? That's an insult to Stan Van Gundy because Ron Jeremy's behind bars now. And
oh,
have you
right.
seen him?
No.
Well,
he's always been.
He's going to die soon.
He's always been gross. He's grosser than
it's
usual?
Yeah, it's bad.
Okay.
It's bad. Some of the court photos and stuff.
Well, speaking of someone that you would never guess in a million years what they were one of the best. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
Boy, there is a.
I'm taking him in my death pool.
He's got the jumpsuit on. Wow. Yeah, you are. If there is a celebrity death pool.
He looks horrible.
Allow me to throw $50 down on Ron Jeremy.
But maybe that's what prison does to you.
Well, I don't think
prison. Or a lack of sex.
I doubt that anyone goes into prison and comes out better.
I saw a guy last night on, what was I watching? HBO Real Sports.
Yeah.
Did you watch that?
I did. Well, I saw they did one on the Negro Leagues and they did one on esports. That's the only two that I saw.
Oh, you missed the last one. The last bit was on this guy who went away to prison for almost 30 years for a crime he didn't commit.
Yeah.
And he started doing drawings of golf courses.
My name is Simon.
And he would do these. He never played golf in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he started doing these drawings and he got hooked up with Golf Digest. And actually, long story, but Golf Digest basically started the movement to get him out.
Huh.
And he got out and when he walked out, he looked great.
Really?
He was all buff.
Well, I guess you got one of two ways, right? You go into prison and you just start doing like prison pushups or.
See, I think I'd get super buff in prison.
Really?
Yeah. I would because there's nothing else to do.
You hate exercise.
Well, but there's nothing else to do. You have to have a goal.
And that would be your goal?
That would keep me.
Like Swole Rop just comes out like a bunch of gangland tats.
Like
and you're all
sitting
jacked?
There like you have to have something to look forward to. Something to for your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And mine would be, geez, I wonder how yoked I can get.
Yeah.
And you can work on it every day.
You are right that one of two things happens. You either come out all jacked up or you like you know, it turns your brain and your mind to mush.
You should go to prison.
The Bill Cosby sort of thing. They just saw that, I just saw that Weinstein. Is it Harvey? Harvey Weinstein? Mm-hmm. He looks awful too. His attorney.
Well, he's always looked awful.
He always, but like, I mean, I guess it's the same thing with Ron Jeremy, but I mean, super extra duper bad. And his attorney said that if he's not let out of prison soon, he's going to die. Which, might I say, who cares? Have fun.
I feel like Van Gundy, back to your original point.
Yeah.
He wears suits. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he's in sales. Mm-hmm. He wines and dines a lot because he's kind of fat.
Yeah.
So he probably has a lot of nice dinners and drinks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think he sells, I picture him selling, being great at selling those little, you know, those little things that clamp hoses together when you've got a leaky hose?
Sure.
And you can cut it and then you can buy the little.
He sells that, huh?
He sells hose menders.
That's very.
And he's one of the top 37 in America at selling hose menders.
Isn't it fascinating, though,
to big corporations?
When you meet someone like that and you find out that they're super successful and they sell hose clamps, you're like, what?
Yeah.
It's fascinating to find out where people make their money, but that is a very specific.
I think that's what it is.
What does Stan Van Gundy do?
Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Lynch.
Hey, he's back.
Wow.
Hello.
What a treat. Where have you been?
I've just been home, hanging out for a couple of days. I have a lot of vacation days to burn, so I decided to take a couple.
Did you do some tubing? Uh-huh. You know
that's
what I mean?
Called a sexcation is what that is.
What?
Yeah.
Tubing?
Oh, yeah, that's...
You know, like tubing?
Yes, like...
Tubing.
Are we not talking about the same thing, Jeffrey Tubin?
Oh, yeah, I was going to call him Jeremy Tubin, but you're right, Jeffrey Tubin.
Yeah, that's a sexcation.
Am I missing something?
You are. You missed it. It's
Yeah, you certainly
Think about
are.
Like Tuds, but we've replaced Tuds with Tubin.
Okay. Do you know Jeffrey Tubin?
I do not.
You don't?
He got caught tubing.
He's a guy on CNN, and he started pulling his putt on a Zoom call, and everybody thought the camera was off, but they all saw him.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So if Mike's at home anything, he was asking, were you tubing? I said, that's called a sexcation.
Ah. Right?
Although Tubin should send a letter of thank you to Giuliani.
Yeah, got him off.
Because Tubin is now like, who cares about Tubin?
You got Borat now?
Now we're talking about Giuliani being in the new Borat movie.
Can anyone... that blows my mind that Borat...
Does it really?
No. That Borat can still be a thing. Like
Borat's
who
great.
Doesn't know who Borat is?
Exactly!
Oh, how does right. he get away with
he
it?
Rudy didn't know who Borat
no.
was. When he walks in.
At this point in time, you're not aware of what Borat's got going on. And I guess there's a scene in the movie where... Like they follow him around and everyone's like chasing him like Borat. He goes to a Halloween costume store to get a disguise. And one of the costumes on the shelf is Borat. And yet it's still a thing. I can't
and
wait.
People
to,
don't know who he
no,
is.
No, I can't wait to see it. I think Borat and what he does, just kind of the.
My wife.
Yeah.
I was very nervous when the trailer came out and then I was very excited.
It's going to be great.
One of the because it just exposed Borat exposes. Just how truly remarkably awful some sections of our country can be. That scene in Borat where he goes, I think it's in Arizona. He goes to a bar in Arizona and he stands up and it's just some country western bar. And, you know, they do the, hey, all the way from Kazakhstan, we've got a guy here and, you know, give him a big Arizona welcome. He's got the cowboy hat on, the American shirt, and he starts singing a country song. And it just starts out, you know, in my country, there is problem and that problem is transport. And it's like it takes very long to get wherever it goes because Kazakhstan is big. And then he does the throw transport down the well and everyone kind of starts clapping along. It's a simple beat and it gets to the third verse and it's in my country, there is problem and that problem is the Jews. And everyone in the bar immediately has this. That's all right. We'll go along with this. And by the end of it, they're all chanting, throw the Jews down the well. And it just is such a...
How's that make you feel, Mike?
It was very funny.
But it's this brilliant slice where he takes it and he turns a mirror on these people. And then everyone gets mad. They're like, well, I was tricked and I didn't know. You were tricked. You were singing, throw the Jew down the well.
Well, like we had a clip.
You weren't tricked. That's just who you are. And you went along with it and you're pissed that someone exposed it.
We had a clip that I think we played on the show. I remember grabbing it. It was Sacha Baron Cohen in like a rally. And he went up there and started singing. And it was like really racist stuff he was saying.
Yes.
And everyone was chanting along with him and clapping and laughing. And it was like,
that was a recent one. And he was undisguised. He was like a farmer or something.
Yeah, he was like a country singer.
He does a bunch of this stuff. Like when he did the Bruno, and he goes to the UFC. It's not a UFC event, an MMA event, and he plays Straight Dave. And then he starts making out with another guy in the cage. And I can't believe that they got out of there with their lives. Like, people are throwing chairs and beer cans. And what he does in the satire, like I said, turning the mirror on people, is, I think he's brilliant.
Do you want the Giuliani scene now? I have it right in front of me.
Well, I think that's maybe a Club 1080 sort of thing.
Oh, you don't want it now?
No. That's, we just, okay. We just give him we gave him a taste. Come get a taste. Stick around till 6.
Well, I have the actual scene.
Oh, because I haven't seen this yet.
Saying that I've seen it, but no. Somebody who has seen it transcribed it, and it's fantastic.
Okay, well then maybe we start the club with that.
So Giuliani is in Borat too.
Yeah,
he's also already tweeted about it.
Yeah, it's come out now. And I guess there's some kid in Indiana that DM'd Giuliani, and he was like, "Hey, is this you, Mr. Giuliani?" Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Yeah, who dis?" And then he posts a picture of a Ivanka taking a selfie, mm-hmm. Ivanka Trump. He's like, "It's me, Ivanka." And he's like, "Oh, I didn't know you got a new number." And then he launches into a conversation with the guy, thinking it's Ivanka.
Interesting.
"Is this stuff true? All this stuff true?" He's like, "Yeah, sorry, it is true. I've been meaning to talk to your dad about it." And this is some kid in Indiana.
I don't know what to...
And Rudy Giuliani trusted a random phone number
because
he had a selfie of Ivanka that he copy and pasted.
Well, who doesn't?
Well, Giuliani likes a bit of the drink.
Well, like, who hasn't gotten caught up in some Jameson and a Nigerian prince,
the
right?
Who doesn't is right. However, it sounds like he's...
Watch that. I watch that...
His finger be pickled.
I watch that 90 Day Fiancé show sometimes. It's total trash. I mean, it's awful. But... they show sometimes like the willingness to believe what's on the other end of a phone, whether it's a text message or, you know, whatever, that willingness to believe that is real is I'm sure someone has, but Stanford needs to do a study on that why, when someone texts something, that it's just like, well, that's what it is.
Yeah. Maybe Yale though, you know,
well, Harvard, Columbia.
We have a great show planned today, guys.
All right. We do?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, just, yes.
I'm ready.
Jesus.
You told me that, so now I have to believe it.
We hump at 4.
Yes.
Because it's Wednesday.
Hump day!
Central Oregon is getting football, pro football.
Central Oregon?
Mm-hmm.
I thought Tualatin was getting it.
I think you mean Tulatin.
Yes, Tulatin. Weren't they next in line? Someone asked the mayor, "Hey, would you want the NFL?" Absolutely.
No. Mm. And then we've also got, what else do we have?
Well, you're the one that said it was a great show, so I mean,
maybe it isn't.
Now I'm doubting you.
Maybe it isn't.
Great. Fake news. Ah, oh, for hell's sakes.
No, it's going to be great. The NFL is evolving. Stats.
Mm. Next gen stats.
It's a lot of cool stuff.
I do love stats. I don't like
World Series talk. Nah, not really.
I don't like what Major League Baseball is trying to do.
World Series suck. What do you mean?
Well, you know, we're trying to make this whole thing permanent. Not a fan.
Make what permanent?
The bigger playoff
and the stupid runner on second. Nah, I can't. I can't get down with that.
That game sucked last night.
Wow.
I didn't like any of it.
You didn't like any of it?
Nope.
Really?
Least watched World Series game of all time.
They said.
Really?
Yep.
Least watched of all time.
Yeah. Because Kevin Cash effed it up.
I didn't think it was I didn't think it was a bad game. I thought there was, I mean, once they broke it open, there was that in the fifth and the sixth, they had the two big innings, but I don't know. I didn't think it was bad.
It was a bad game. Kevin Cash, I don't know why he left What's His Nuts in so long, but he did, and he screwed it up. So, and I think after watching that game, and it's just one game, so it's, you know, this probably means nothing, but I watched that game and I just went, it's a Dodgers year. See, like, the Rays ain't going to keep up with the Dodgers.
I am fascinated by this because I'm hearing a lot of that, and it blows my mind. After what we've seen with the Rays being up 3-0, Astros coming back, and then because we had all written off the Astros, then we wrote off the Rays. The Dodgers, who haven't looked particularly good, especially in the bullpen, and everyone had written them off dead and gone against the Braves.
What'd you have for lunch?
And then they came back. I love how Rob now is questioning my one mild burp. what I had when.
Hey,
when,
no need to get defensive. I just want to know what you had for lunch.
When Rob on 72 times during the day. I had some oatmeal, actually.
And what's that? A seltzer?
Yeah, that's a polar seltzer, the orange vanilla.
That's where the burp came from, the seltzer.
Oh.
The bubbles.
Yeah, a little bubbly. But I had some oatmeal with blueberries and banana cut up into it with a little honey and cinnamon.
If we're sharing our lunches, I had some Rip City Grill today.
You
it
did?
Was, I had a little bacon and blue tri-tip sandwich, yeah.
I had leftovers. Mm. Is that lame or
no,
what?
No, leftovers aren't bad.
Depends on the leftovers.
Yeah, exactly.
There's some sort of chicken parm type thing that my wife made the other night.
I had chicken parm last night as well.
Great.
And I thought about having chicken parm leftovers.
Life's good.
And I didn't.
Life's good.
Look, my chicken parm, though, is not really a high-end chicken parm. Let's be honest, it's me cooking it, so yeah, it's...
Yeah.
The chicken comes from like the Fred Meyer deli, the chicken strips that are already pre-made.
If you don't get sick, it's a win.
I just throw that on top of some pasta with some marinara sauce and some cheese. Look, that's not really
Not really chicken parm.
No, it's not. It's
that's
like
chicken tenders on spaghetti.
Oh, it's like Olive Garden chicken parm. I mean, it's, you know, there was some garlic and some olive oil mixed into the pasta, but it's not particularly high end.
What were we talking about? Oh,
my
baseball.
Point was, I love how now after one game, there's so many people being like, well, the Rays is just, you know, they're not going to be able to do this. And the Dodgers.
I did say right before I made that comment that it's just one game. So I'm probably like just overreacting. But yes, I don't know. The Rays cannot hit. They just can't hit. And the Dodgers get such good at bats. So Gonsolin goes tonight. So, you know. That's one of the lesser starters for the Dodgers. But when Walker Buehler and Urias are out there, the Rays ain't going to hit those guys. They couldn't hit. They got two hits off of freaking Kershaw, and he loves to choke in the World Series.
Well, they didn't leave him in long enough to botch it, though, so good for them.
What did he go, six?
I think he went six.
Yeah. Well, but
that's pretty long for Kershaw in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, but they were up 8-1. I mean, I think he would have stayed in longer if it were a closer game. He was dealing.
Yeah. But we've seen that time and time and time again. All I know is I just find it fascinating.
Hey, you have a Dodgers ticket. You should.
I do have a Dodgers ticket.
You should feel good about that ticket.
I do. But at the
Mookie Betts is raking.
At the same time, I've been backdoor covered way too many times. And
you've been backdoored?
I have been backdoored multiple times. I'm just fascinated at the narrative after one game, especially what we've seen in these playoffs, where both of these teams have been written off multiple times to where, you know,
I am getting abused
in the back door.
Whoa. Whoa, there's already a drop for it. I was going to have him mark that.
Fitzpatrick backdoored me just like a month ago.
He sure did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boy, did he
against
ever.
The Bills.
So did Wentz got you in the back door.
Freaking Carson effing Wentz. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, look, I think the Rays suck.
that's where we're at,
I'm
right?
pissed. Well, I'm just mad at them because I bet on them, you know. Yeah. I bet on them to win the World Series. I know Dirt has a ticket on the Rays to win the World Series from like at the start of the year. So I'm sure he's livid today. They looked terrible last night, but maybe they'll bounce back tonight. You know, Blake Snell.
I refuse to write anyone off after one game. You know, the Dodgers bats woke up and
well, the Dodgers are just,
it happens.
Good. Well, that's just a good offense.
Yes, it is.
The Rays, it is not.
It is an embarrassment of riches, especially when you get into pitch hitting guys and be able to move stuff around. And this is as stable as the Dodgers lineup has been. But you look over these, last handful of years where they've been the dominant team, not to win the World Series. Their just ability to move guys and platoon guys, it's ridiculous, the depth of their bench.
All right, well, that's all the baseball talk we're going to have today. Right there. Oh, that's it.
That's it?
We corkscrewed it in. Well, you didn't want the Giuliani scene, which I understand. We'll do that in the club. So we just get the baseball crap out of the way. Nobody watched it anyway. It's kind of a lame series. Screw up. Let's go to football.
It's a lame series. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It might be a sweep.
Of course.
Actually, they might end it after three.
Yeah, just a mercy,
don't you think?
Mercy rule sort of thing.
Probably.
You're literally way too out on the Rays after one game.
I'm so out on the
you
Rays.
You are so out
I
on
I hate
them.
The Rays. And I hate Kevin Cash.
Good, Kevin, you should.
He's a bitch.
Hate Kevin Cash and hate the Rays, but they're
it,
here for
it
a reason.
It is mildly strange that they have all year erred on the side of pulling guys too soon, and they left Glasnow in.
That was so weird.
I don't get it.
Anyway, there's your baseball talk. Let's start with the Seahawks possibly signing Antonio Brown. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up in our next segment, we have Big Ten Musings. That is the name of the segment for the archives. Big Ten musings.
Okay.
I've got Big Ten news piling up, and we're just going to put it all into one juicy segment.
10 things about the Big Ten, including the fact that they don't have 10 teams?
Excuse me.
Nor does the Big 12 have 12, which to me is still confusing.
The poll question, as always, is brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, family business helping families for over 50 years, AAAIAQ.com. It can be found at 1080thefan.com. Should the Seahawks sign Antonio Brown?
Yes.
So provocative, this question. Although I think everyone in the Northwest is asking this question.
The answer is yes.
Someone says, why not? Another one says, hell no. And then someone else says, throw in a new locker room refrigerator and you've got a deal. That's old Will throwing his brand of humor in there.
Why wouldn't you? I don't get why anyone would be against signing Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Makes no sense to me.
Well, isn't he a pain in the ass and like a idiot?
Sure.
And like,
yeah. And then you know what you can do? You can just get rid of him. He's not signing for anything. This is going to be the definition of a prove it deal. You're going to sign him on a 1-year deal and you got a good locker room culture there. You've got Russ Wilson as the unquestioned leader there. You've got a very good front office, a very well-established coach that doesn't need to take crap from anyone. They've put up with malcontents and difficult players there before. You know, see Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas and Michael Bennett. And Antonio Brown, when motivated, is one of the two or three best receivers in the NFL. I'm sure there's going to be some rust to it. Now, I don't necessarily think that he's what the Seahawks need at this point, but much like the Le'Veon Bell thing, I don't think the Chiefs needed Le'Veon Bell, but what did Andy Reid say? We don't turn away good players. And Antonio Brown is a really, really good player. I'd make the argument that I'd rather have Antonio Brown than I would Bell. And so to me,
if you're the Seahawks?
Yeah, if I'm anybody. I mean, I guess
well, what
if
about the it's like Seahawks already have Lockett and Metcalf.
Sure. But again, you're adding, and both of those guys are very good receivers, but make no mistake, Antonio Brown is twice the player that either one of those guys are. And that may be, you know, you may take a couple weeks to knock the rust off of that. You've had Josh Gordon there and all of his problems. You had Percy Harvin there, who's a huge pain in the ass. And, you know, that obviously Percy Harvin didn't have a huge impact there. But that's my point is this is a no-risk signing.
Can he play corner?
I do not believe he can play corner, no. But, yes, if I was a Seahawk fan and I would say I had limited resources and you told me that I could get a Antonio Brown-esque player – and he played defensive end, or he played safety, or he played corner. Yes, but guess what? There's not a top three player at his position just 2 years ago sitting around not doing anything. So to me, I these are just always very low risk sort of things. Because when you take a flyer on a guy, see the Patriots when they took Antonio Brown, right? And it just they were like, well, and we're not doing this. You know, that was when he had the... I don't remember if it was the artist or if it was the one down in Florida where he threw the crap at the movie van. I forget which one it was, but he had like an incident right after he got to New England and the Patriots were like, yeah, goodbye, gone. And you are going to get him on his very best behavior because clearly the idiot wants to play football. He probably needs to play football at this point. Doesn't strike me as the most, sane person, maybe with his finances. So, you know, he may be in realizing that I shouldn't have turned down the, you know, 50 whatever million guaranteed that the Raiders are giving me for being an idiot and refusing to wear a helmet. So you should be able to get him on his best behavior. Why wouldn't you kick the tires on this? Again, if he wants a 3-year deal with, you know, $40 million in guaranteed money, take a hike. But if I can get
he's a whack job,
if
that's
I can get him on a Cam Newton deal, a 1-year deal at $1.1 million, then a bunch of incentives, yeah, roll the dice. The NFL is full of malcontents. The NFL is full of idiots. So
yeah, I know, but this guy's a little different in that I felt like he was maybe, like he was so toxic before he got suspended, like nobody would sign him and he's damn good.
Well, he's also he was suspended, so you had to go through that. Well, but
yeah, but this was before. Remember that? Like he was like people were just like, dude, this guy's way too much. There are malcontents, but let's not act like they're all equal. Antonio Brown is off his rocker,
sure.
Or at least at times in his life has been off his rocker. And it's really been a problem for teams. Now that said, you're right, the risk is low. At the same time, it is also exciting to think about if he minds his P's and Q's to think about him and Metcalf and Lockett as your receivers.
Let's be honest at this point in the season,
but do they really need him?
Well, here's the, this is my, do you really need him? Probably not, but
really, how much better are they with him out there than Lockett?
Significantly. They're significantly better on offense. And so do you need him? You're 5-0, but dude, some of those games have little, we've talked about it. They're three plays away from being, what, 2-3. Realistically, you know, that's the Cowboy one I don't count, but they could easily be 3-2. And you can't play a lick of defense. And if you're not going to play a lick of defense, or at least you're not going to be able to until the defense gets healthier. And even if it does get healthy, I still think you're very limited on that side of the football. You are going to have to outscore people. This is just the world in which you live in. You're going to have to be, if the Seahawks want to be a Super Bowl team, you're going to have to be the Peyton Manning Colts, where you just put up an S ton of points, you force people to play from behind, and hope that when you get to the postseason that your defense can get hot and get a couple turnovers and let Russ cook down the stretch and be in close games. And so to me, if I believe I got to outscore people, and you tell me that I can already take one of the better offenses in the NFL that already has two really good receivers and add a receiver that is better than both of those guys, and no offense to either Lockett or Metcalf, who are fine players, Antonio Brown, when healthy and motivated, is one of the two, maybe three best receivers in the game, because he's been away for a while. And it's not like he's got a bunch of wear and tear on his body. And for all the crap that Antonio Brown brings, and John Gruden said this, there is no one that works harder in practice, on and off the field. Dude, that guy is a specimen. And he works his ass off. He's not going to come in fat and out of shape. You just have to find a way to put some blinders on him and say, hey, don't be a jackass for 4 months.
Well, he's friends with Russell Wilson and he's friends with Geno Smith.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he worked out with both guys in the offseason and they've both kept in touch with him about joining Seattle. Now, according to Adam Schefter, there are other teams that will be interested in Antonio Brown. So it's not a lock that the Seahawks would get him. But and just because those two guys are friends with him doesn't mean the franchise is going to want him. They may just be like, nah, he's a wild card. Everything you say is right. But at the same time, he's a wild card, man. He's a total wild card.
Yes.
And it's just, he can divide you, and why would you want that when you're 5-0? At the same time, you know, I was looking at the Seahawks, and you know, their offense is number one in the league in terms of points per game. They're scoring 34 points per game, but they're eighth in yards per game.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, there is a precedent to improve the offense, even though it's like how good can you get? Like when you have the best offense in the league, how much better can it get? Well, you know, you can make it better and make it more difficult to guard. And when you can't stop anybody, that seems like probably a pretty wise thing. But
you're going to have to.
It's just a matter of the negative that he brings. And and that is just, it's really unquantifiable from our end. It's hard to know.
Exactly.
It's hard to know. So you just have to trust that an organization like the Seahawks, who's typically been pretty good with guys like this, they will vet it.
Yep.
And if they think he's going to be too much of a problem, they won't sign him. And if they think that it could work, and that it's the risk is worth the reward is worth the risk, then they'll do it.
And this person saying, you know, the Seahawks have more important needs. What a waste. I understand that, people. But again, follow me on this. Do you realize I looked up the top list of NFL free agents on the defensive side of the ball, guys that can be had right now, right? Without giving anything up. Earl Thomas.
J.J. Watt.
Ha-ha Clinton Dix. Eric Reed. I mean, that's who you're talking about.
Is it,
I mean,
Matthews out there?
Two players that I would take.
Yeah, Clinton
Dix
kidding.
And Eric Reed.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And Earl Thomas is pretty good. See, he's an interesting example because Earl Thomas is good.
Yeah.
Lot like Antonio Brown. Nobody will touch him.
No one wants him.
So how much worse is he than Antonio? See, that's a weird one.
Here's the thing, though. And Antonio Brown is so much better than any of those players that are available. Clay Matthews at this point is just...
he is. But Earl Thomas is a more coveted position.
Yes.
And is still very good at it, and no one will sign him. Houston desperately needs him. The coach wanted to sign him and the players didn't want him.
Yeah.
Guys like this, so what makes Earl Thomas different than Antonio Brown?
Russell Wilson has a relationship with Antonio Brown, which
there's
is that. Huge.
There's a difference between being a little bit of a wackadoo, being eccentric, being in your own little world, and Earl Thomas, who by all accounts is just a bad guy who is
Antonio Brown's a
guy. Let's not undersell a little bit of a wackadoo.
No, but here's the thing. There's a difference between being a little bit of a space case. And Antonio Brown certainly is that. And it sounds like when he was in Pittsburgh, as it got towards the end, it got really bad where he alienated a lot of people. But it didn't sound like that was the case in New England. It didn't sound like it was the case in Oakland. Earl Thomas has alienated everybody. I'm telling you, there is a difference between, ew, that guy's a little weird, but can probably help us win, and guys that walk into a locker room and loathe another person being there. And when you have that, where it's just a toxic guy that walks in, and he's a guy that is constantly in people's ears and up their keisters and yelling and screaming and acting like his S don't stink, and he's not even very good anymore or not playing at the level when he was peak Earl Thomas, that's the difference between taking a shot on someone and a locker room full of people being like, F you, man, I don't want this guy anywhere near me.
Yeah, I get that. Thomas is clearly so disruptive that the whole league has basically blackballed him.
Yeah.
But at one time, we were saying, why would anyone ever sign Antonio Brown?
Didn't I think it's funny. Lock himself in his own house and throw a brick through a delivery car window.
Yes. And we were talking about this like, oh my God, his career's over. Like, this guy's done.
Girlfriend. And I mean, what is.
But now we're like, oh, well, you know, he's coming off suspension. Why not? It's just weird how we talk about him one way one time and then we kind of forget. And then we were like, oh, well, he's pretty good. So let's sign him.
Look, Antonio Brown is a jackass of a very, very high order. But someone out there is going to kick the tires on him and give him another shot because he is uber, uber talented. And all I'm saying is, if you take the moral side out of it, do I want Antonio Brown on my team I'm rooting for? No. But from an objective point of view, can Antonio Brown help you win football games? Yes. He is elite. And every other guy that's available is a free agent, you know, Clay Matthews. God, Clay Matthews is so far. That's not even a factor anymore. Right. Antonio Brown is a true difference maker, just like Bell is with Kansas City, and someone is going to take a shot. So asking, should Seattle do it when the risk is very, very low? Like, you can say that it didn't work out in New England. Was New England dumb for giving Antonio Brown a shot? No, because it didn't cost him a damn thing. And the moment he was a jackass, thanks for coming. Someone's going to give him a shot. You need to outscore people because you can't stop anyone. I don't understand why Seattle wouldn't explore this.
I think what it is you said take the moral side out of it. I think there are a lot of people who don't want to take the moral side out of it
and don't think
you should.
And I understand that.
And they say we pick and choose when we take the moral side out of it, when it benefits our team. You know what I mean? So it's just, you know, I don't know. I trust the Seahawks to do the right thing in terms of if they think he can help them. I know it's all about winning games. I'm not naive in that regard. So sign his ass.
But to be fair, when I was saying space case, I was talking about when he's inside a locker room. Off the field, Antonio Brown, by all measures, from stiffing people to being inappropriate to some allegations with girlfriend, Antonio Brown is a bad person. I was talking about there's a difference between being a bad person off the field and punching teammates and being a cancer inside the locker room. But yes, I'm not meaning to try to dismiss Antonio Brown's, let's just say, checkered behavior off the field.
Crap.
He is a human piece of crap.
Yes. But Russell Wilson likes him, so.
But there's a lot of pieces of crap.
Let's be great.
I've always said this. Be real careful. If you got a chance to meet your heroes that were in the NFL, be real careful, because there's a lot of guys, even the ones that you don't realize, the best people in the world. He's so good, but I can't stand him. He drives me crazy.
Who?
Dangerous.
What's his name?
Mr.
Unlimited.
So many. He is so
I was about
good,
to say Mr. Irrelevant.
Drives me crazy.
Okay, well, anyway, there's our poll question. Should the Seahawks sign Antonio Brown? Yes, no, or throw in a new locker room refrigerator and you've got a deal. Vote at 1080thefan.com. Big Ten Musings next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up at 4, our Hump Day NFL Roundup. You were saying how many good NFL or defensive players are out there?
Yeah.
That can be had right now that are like really good players, like Antonio Brown level players at their position on the defensive side?
Yeah, there isn't.
Well, I mentioned J.J. Watt, and I was just joking, but I kind of wasn't because – it sounds like maybe the Texans are willing to trade him. Now,
well, I was thinking
the price is, price for him is obviously a lot different, but there are guys that can be had. All that to tell you that at four, we have five juicy NFL trade deadline deals.
Ooh.
Yes, very fun. Now, the trade deadline in the NFL is November 3rd.
And by the way, when you say available players too, again, the thing about Antonio Brown is you can go get him for nothing.
And that's what I just said. Yeah, the prices are going to be, you're going to pay more for defensive guys.
Well, and if you're trading for someone.
And if it's J.J. Watt, you're going to pay a lot more.
And by the way, J.J. Watt, no thanks.
At all?
No, because they're going to, if you told me you're going to have to give up just one first round pick for J.J. Watt, pass.
Yeah. We'll talk about it.
And my point is when you talk about the available defensive players that are available right now, you can get on the free agent market, a la Antonio Brown. The three best are Earl Thomas, Ha Clinton Dix, and Eric Reed.
Yeah.
That is what you're dealing with. And then you can go on down from there. But I mean, that's what you're talking about.
Big Ten. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
And then just none of those guys are true difference makers. Just aren't. Eric Reed can still play the game. I'm sure all those guys can still play the game. But when you're talking about difference makers, there is not a free agent difference maker out there. Because if there was, with teams not playing defense right now, which is 90% of the league, those guys would get snapped up.
All right. Big Ten musings. Although Mike is already telling me to break. I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to lean into this. Okay. Let's go.
Hard lean.
I'm ready to go. So I've got three stories, and we'll do these over the next two segments. One of the stories is what the Big Ten is doing about crowd noise, which I think you'll like.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
In this segment, though, I've got Michigan news, and we'll start with Jeff Brohm. Now, the Big Ten football starts this weekend.
Yes, it's the Big Ten. We got Nebraska and Ohio State right out of the gate.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's a 25-point spread, isn't it? Like, I think
it's not, yeah.
I believe we have Minnesota, Michigan.
That's going to be a little bit of a better game. Well, we got Rowe in the boat versus hard-ass Harbaugh.
Yeah. I mean, that should be a better game, right? Minnesota's good again?
I think Minnesota's okay. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if I would say the Minnesota's good. I mean,
They were good last year.
Nebraska is awful. I mean, Nebraska has shown no signs. And Minnesota, by the way, currently ranked 21st. That is only a 3-point spread.
They're ranked. Wow. Yes. Okay.
So to say, is Minnesota good? I don't know, but Michigan, people don't think that much of Michigan.
Well, actually, I'll start then with the Michigan news since we're talking about them.
Okay.
Did you see that their students are under a stay-in-place order?
I did see that.
But their football team is not. So they're going to go play.
Yeah, I saw someone was tweeting about this. They put together I think it was the top five most hypocritical things that the NCAA is doing in the wake of COVID.
Top five.
Yeah.
You could do a top 500.
It's fantastic, but this is good. Everyone, you can't go anywhere unless you play football. Then do whatever the hell you want to go. No large gatherings unless you play football, then you're fine. We don't have the testing available for the students unless you're a football player. Then you get one whenever you want every day.
So a county health officer there in Ann Arbor said the situation locally has become critical, and this order is necessary to reverse the current increase in COVID cases. So health officials there have issued a stay-in-place order for undergraduate students at Michigan, effective immediately.
Yeah.
So they have to freeze in place. They cannot move.
Game freeze tag. Oh, and by the way, we cannot play sports unless there's students actively going to school on campus. We can't play sports unless some of the students are going to. We can't play sports unless one or two kids are on campus, but not actually going to. Okay, we're good. Look, let's just play football.
If there's a stay in place order for students, there's no way we can. No, we'll go ahead and play too. The public health directive does not apply to varsity student athletes.
Yes.
They are exempt and allowed to take part in practices and competitions.
I just want you to realize that the NCAA bylaws that govern all this whole crap is the reason why you can't pay players and all the other crappy rules they have. The big one is that athletes cannot get benefits that are not available to other students. So I just like to point that out, that the big thing of amateurism, they hold on to that. And last time I checked, this whole COVID thing has blown that out of the water completely.
How well do you think it's going? Students are allowed to leave their residences to attend in-person classes and instructional labs, to do approved work, and to tend to basic needs like picking up food, medication, and outdoor exercise in groups no larger than two.
I'm guessing that this is
how well do you think that's going?
I'm going to say 0%. 0%. Adherence to
so this. Now they're all like signing up to play football.
Probably
they're like, oh,
hey, what are you talking
football
about?
Football can play. I can be a kicker.
I can be out there. All of a sudden, Jim Harbaugh has 97,000 walk-ons. Oh, they're all just welcome. Come on in. We got the equipment. Let's do this.
Okay, Jeff Brohm has the COVID. He's the coach at Purdue.
Yes.
Now remember, Nick Saban had the COVID until he didn't. So Brohm has a new and creative way. Not the Nick Saban way, mind you, but Brohm has a new and creative way to try to coach on Saturday because they play Iowa. Yeah. Big game.
Yeah.
They need him out there. What will they do without their leader? And we'll tell you about that next on The Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Hump Day Roundup next. Actually, Big Ten football starts on Friday. Did you know that? We got a Friday night game?
No, I did not know that. What
yeah, baby.
Got?
So simple, it just might work.
Illinois against Wisconsin.
Okay, Wisconsin's supposed to be good. I think Wisconsin, I've seen like in predictors, Ohio State is like by a mile. And then I think Wisconsin and Penn State are the only two that anyone gives a real chance in that league.
Shocking.
Yeah, I mean,
that's so different from every other year. Ohio State plays Nebraska. Rutgers plays Michigan State. Penn State is at Indiana. Iowa, Purdue. And that's where Jeff Brohm, the coach at Purdue, has filed an appeal with the NCAA Football Rules Committee for him to communicate with his staff during their season opener against Iowa.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
So he has COVID.
Yes.
And unlike Nick Saban, who phonied 3 straight negative tests in order to get out there against Georgia.
Did you see that they hired a private plane?
And I say that half jokingly.
No, I mean
half jokingly.
So, you know, the lab where they were testing, I guess was out of state. And so they did the first two, but they needed the third one on Saturday. So Alabama chartered a private plane, had Saban wake up in the morning, take the test on Saturday, like very first thing, like in the wee hours, because it had to technically be on Saturday. And then they took that, they took his spit swab or whatever, put it in the airplane, sent it across on a private plane just so that they could get the results back in time.
And they did.
They did.
Shockingly.
It just matters more.
Yeah, so Brohm, I don't know why Purdue's not doing this.
Well, I think Purdue may not have the resources that Alabama does.
They can't charter the flight for his spit.
No.
Also, Jeff Brohm isn't Nick Saban.
It's not as big of a game.
You think if Jeff Braun wanted the private plane to fly his spit across the state, that they like someone at Purdue would be like, fine.
I think it's
they'd be like, really, Jeff?
Is he in good standing there?
Yeah.
Like, is he good?
Yeah.
Okay, then they would.
They like him.
Then they would. Now, if he's like, trying to think, Kevin Sumlin?
Yeah.
Or no, if he's like Clay Helton, USC, they're like, dude, Clay.
Well, Sumlin's.
How about you win a game first?
Sumlin's the better one. Because you're right. Like, at least with Clay Helton, they begrudgingly.
You got to have some cachet.
Yeah. Kevin Sumlin's got nothing.
Anyway, Purdue does. Brohm does at Purdue. And the athletic director there said he expects an answer to the appeal on Thursday. Now, other appeals, he says, like this have been denied, but it has always involved the use of video. So we weren't going to go down that same road because the answer already has been given multiple times. You can't do it via video.
Yeah, it's against the
rule. He just wants to be able to pipe in on the headset. So who knows what will happen there.
The Brohmer, by the way, is the same guy, and I'll give him credit. He actually, when this whole thing started in the Big Ten said we're not playing, Brohm's the guy that sat down in his office and came up with a pretty good plan to play in the spring. Like, it wasn't just one of those, like, out of your keister. He was a guy, and I appreciated this because, you know, so many people we love to be like, oh, this is the dumbest idea in the world, and we should just do it this way. And then you ask him, well, what's your plan? And they're like, well, I don't know. I just think we should do it this way. Brohm actually came up with a spring schedule that made some sense. Now, it turns out they don't need it, but he is a football guy through and through, and I love that he's like, well, I don't need video. I just want to chime in. I just want my opinions. want my opinions to be heard.
Saying, they're saying it would just be asking for a phone. And he would be watching on delay, so communication would not be in real time even. So they just want a phone, bat phone, Jeff Brom phone.
Go for it.
Please. So when his kid, and I think it's his kid that is going to take over.
He's in charge.
He can go consult his daddy.
Well, it might be kind of a big year. So Brommer came from Western Kentucky where he was like a rock star, right? He was like the next hot thing. And he got the job at Purdue, and Purdue sucks. And then he had a couple decent years at Purdue, if I remember, and that he was supposedly, remember, it was him and Matt Campbell that everyone was like jockeying for. But I think the last year or two, they've fallen off a bit. So maybe the Brommer realizes that he's 1 year away from being on the hot seat.
The Brommer. By the way, it's his brother.
His brother.
That's the co-offensive coordinator. Anyway.
Look, either way, just put an earpiece in there. Get like a walkie-talkie, like a Roscoe P. Coltrane sort of thing.
Right.
You know, he's going to find a way.
He's 17-21 at Purdue.
Yeah.
In three seasons. He was 30-10 at Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
And finally, Bill, as the Big Ten gets set to go, did you see what they're doing about crowd noise?
No, because people are like, when you hear the piped in crowd noise on TV, they're not doing that in any stadium. That's just what you hear. The stadium
is empty. Quiet.
But there are some fans, especially down in the South. You've seen it. I mean, they are allowing some fans into games.
Somebody said, why isn't anyone calling BS on Saban having the COVID on Tuesday and being magically healed by Saturday? Oh, they are.
They are.
There's nothing you can do about it. They fudged it, man.
And they dominated Georgia. Deal with it.
They took a giant steaming dump all over any of that and threw three of the double bird and walked out the door.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
And then stomp down to Tuscaloosa and whoop some ass. You know what they elected to do?
They elected to kick ass.
Yeah. They elected to kick ass against Georgia and COVID.
Good times.
I want that to be the national strategy. What do you elect we do, like in the presidential debate? Well, I hope we elect to kick ass. Let's do that.
Okay, where was I?
Crowd noise.
Yes.
You know, I hope we elect to kick ass is what I hope we do.
One of my favorite quotes of all time.
So they're going to pipe in fake crowd noise into the stadiums. So the general public will not be at football games. They're not one of these that's going to have like 5,000 or 10,000
people.
They're
going to do people. Like what the Pac-12 is doing.
Yeah, the Big Ten is providing schools with crowd noise murmur audio tracks.
It's going to be like Club 1080.
ambiance. According to Ohio State, the volume will stay at 70 decibels during gameplay and be increased to 90 decibels during celebration moments. A page on Purdue's chemistry department website compares 70 decibels to a vacuum cleaner.
What? That's where we're at?
And 90 decibels, it lists a motorcycle 25 feet away.
So it's really going to be a raucous crowd. I'm waiting for someone to pull a Dan Mullen and blame crowd noise. It certainly was a factor. That vacuum cleaner that we had going in the background, we couldn't focus. Therefore, I feel like at our next game, we want 90,000 people there.
Yeah, like, oh my God, shut it off.
You gotta love the Big Ten. It is annoying though, like you're trying to watch TV or something and someone turns on a hairdryer or a vacuum, you're like, God bless America, shut the door.
A packed stadium can be much louder than 70 or 90 decibels.
What?
For example, Michigan Stadium has reported reaching 110 decibels. Numbers can vary by school, but Ohio State will have 656 player and coaching family guests at the games,
mm-hmm.
and visiting teams will have up to 400. So there will be about 1,000 people there.
Yeah.
In a stadium. So they need, you know, the ambiance.
They need the vacuum cleaner.
Well, that's what they're doing with like the Pac-12 is going to allow county by county. You can have family.
Otherwise, would you go to that?
If I was a family member?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah. Like if I was my kid.
I'd be like, hey, maybe I'll catch you Christmas.
Man. Come on. If Tiny Wives
yeah,
out
your
there.
Kid, come
if
on.
Tiny Wives well, out there slinging the rock for the Beavs, I'm showing up at the burrito. Come on.
Kid, I get. But, you know, only your brother. It's like,
I'm like, John, I love you, man.
At a tea time.
By the way, odds, Big Ten championship game odds.
Wait. Let me guess. Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to throw something really wild at you. Okay, ready? Ohio State against Ohio State backups.
I wonder what those odds would be because Ohio State's minus 400. You got to bet $400 to win 100.
Come on.
Wisconsin is.
Actually probably a pretty good bet.
The next closest is Wisconsin. Wisconsin's plus 600. So minus 400. I'm going to do some digging and see if that's the biggest. No, Clemson's got to be, right? Although that would have been at the start of the year. I don't know. maybe it's changed now because we've seen how good Clemson is, but from minus 400 to plus 600 is the odds gap. And then Penn State's at plus 650. And then the next after that is Michigan. You want to guess what Michigan is?
Plus 900.
Plus 8,000 million.
Plus 2,500.
Whoa.
Yeah, nobody cares about Michigan anymore. But we finally figured out Harbaugh sucks.
Yeah, that is a giant fall off the cliff.
By the way, Ohio State does not have to play Wisconsin on their COVID schedule.
Shocking.
So they will not hear the Wisconsin vacuum cleaner, which they were going to turn up to over 100.
They're going to turn on a vacuum cleaner and a hairdryer. And I guarantee.
They do have to play at Penn State, though.
I'm saying this right now, and maybe this is where it comes from, Beaver Stadium. At some point, there will be a coach that will complain about the level of the piped-in music.
Guaranteed.
There will be a coach in the Big Ten that'll say there's no way that that was a vacuum cleaner or 90 decibels that someone will bitch and moan about during a big third down. They turned it up. Guaranteed.
I'll sign off on that. I think that's right.
Who's the most likely to be the first? Because it might not be a coach.
Jim Harbaugh will do it.
Barry Alvarez might do it too.
Harbaugh's will be the first to complain about it, and he'd be the first one to do it to crank it up. I mean, Dan Mullen lost it to A&M, and there was like... That stadium at A&M seats like 100-something thousand people, and I think they allowed 20. 20 and change in there. And that Stoolie went on there and complained after the game, saying that that crowd had an effect.
So simple, it just might work.
And he demanded 90,000 shoulder to shoulder at the Swamp
the
day
swamp
before
the next
their team
week.
Had an outbreak.
Like 42 guys, including him. Jeez.
Wisconsin, at Nebraska, at Michigan, at Northwestern, at Iowa. Their only ranked team that they play? Well, I guess Michigan's ranked. They play Minnesota at home. Yeah, I think that minus 400 Ohio State, assuming they don't get the COVID.
Just grab it.
That might not be a bad bet. All right, there's Big Ten musings. Coming up next, our Hump Day NFL Roundup on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.